Blog Talk Radio.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Sister Khadira Aisha Muhammad for Religion Means Alive. Today's day is 11/16/2015. Tonight's topic, I diverted from the original topic that I was going to do. Inshallah, I will do that Thursday. What makes a woman? Tonight, I had to change the topic to terrorism has no affiliation with Islam, period. First and foremost, I want to give thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for allowing me to see another day, for protecting me from the evilness of the shaitan, protecting my family from the evilness of the shaitan, and keeping the Muslims steadfast and also protected against the evil and wickedness of this world. We know that the dunya is a test for us, being Muslim. And for some of us, it's a little bit harder than others to deal with, especially when you're in certain situations or you work in certain workplaces. It becomes very difficult for you to work and to maintain a positive attitude in light of the situation. Again, I just want to reiterate for anyone that is listening, Christian, Jew, Muslim, whatever, Buddhist, whatever religion you follow, if you follow no religion, Islam does not, and I will reiterate, does not permit terrorism, terroristic attacks, bombing, slaying, any of this. Islam strictly forbids it. Strictly forbids it. I had a situation today that transpired, but before I get into that, and there was also a news reporter that was, you know, overseas that I posted on my page. Something that he said that really, really irritated me to my soul. But before I get to that, I want to list the top 10 reasons why Islam strictly forbids terrorism. This is not coming from me. This is coming from Quran, Allah's word, where Islam states that terrorism is forbidden, and also from Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where he reiterates and states why it's forbidden for us to do these things to innocent people. Let me just say this. I'm going to just say this. If I was anywhere on the face of this earth, anywhere, I don't care where I was at, I don't care what I was doing, I have a family at home. I have children. I have relatives who love and care for me. You cannot do this in Islam. So if I saw you attempting to harm other people as well as myself, I'm going to stop you by any means necessary. By any means necessary, I will physically stop you myself. If I saw that you would do any harm or danger to anyone, it doesn't matter if they're Muslim. It doesn't matter what they are. If you are thinking of harming another human being, even an animal, I'm going to physically stop you to the best of my ability. Islam does not promote this foolishness. It's plain foolishness. If you ever thought that Muslims would condone the killing of innocent women, children, babies, men, it doesn't matter. We do not condone this. It is strictly forbidden. And I'll get into why I had a problem with this reporter from CNN, but I need to state why it says in the Quran and in Hadith why Islam forbids it. Terrorism is above all murder. Murder is strictly forbidden in the Quran. In Quran, Ayat 6, verse 151, in Quran, Surah 6, Ayat 151, it says, and do not kill a soul that God has made sacrilege. save lawfully, such as murder is forbidden, but the death penalty imposed by the state for a crime is permitted. Surah 5, Ayat 53 says, so kills a soul, unless it be for murder or for the reckoning corruption in the land, it shall be as if he has killed all of mankind. And he who saves a life, it shall be as if he has given life to all mankind. Second, if the motive for terrorism is religious, it is impermissible in Islamic law. It is forbidden to attempt to impose Islam on other people. We cannot force you to be Muslim. Islam was not spread by the sword. This is not, if you don't recite the Kalima Shahada, off with your head. We don't do this stuff. We don't have no secret code, no nothing. Like, you know, people was like, oh, you know, Muslims have this secret code where they would all, you know, go into this terroristic state where, you know, they would all agree upon it. We don't have this. This is falsehood. This is not Islam. If anybody told you that, it's a lie. It's a lie. I know a lot of people say, why don't, you know, our religious leaders speak out more against it? And I'm going to tell you why they don't. And I'm going to tell you why. It's like beating a dead horse. We could talk to the communities at large to wear blue in our face, to we kill over and die. Some people will still believe that all Muslims are terrorists. So it's like preaching to the choir. We can tell you over and over again, we don't condone this. This is not a part of Islam, but you will still believe it. So this is why the Muslim leaders don't get out and say it, because they're tired of saying it. They say it over and over again, this is not what Islam promotes. This is not what Islam condones. But people want to believe what they want to believe. And, you know, this is why the leaders don't speak on it anymore. Then the media wants to attack it. Oh, well, you know, the Muslim community, the leaders of the Muslim community won't speak out against it. They refuse to speak out against it. How many times have we told y'all we don't condone it? It's like us saying that Every Christian belongs to the KKK. Every time we see a Christian, oh, you belong with the KKK. It's so sad that you would generalize it so much so that people really believe this. They fear Muslims, but it's more to that, and I'll get to that later on in the call. I'm going to tell you why they fear Islam. And if anybody knows, every time something like this happens, and Allah in his almighty power selects more people to accept Islam, every time something like this goes on. So let me explain this here. If Islam is all about terrorism, how come it's the number one top religion in the world? Becoming the top religion. How come more people are seeking Islam out than any other religion? And I'm not just talking about blacks. I'm not just talking about, you know, people who are born into Islam. I'm talking about you got a lot of Caucasian people accepting Islam. You have a lot of Hispanics accepting Islam. You have a lot of Asians and Mexicans who are accepting Islam. They have built another masjid in Haiti, where Islam is the top religion growing in Haiti. In Haiti. I'll say it again. In Haiti, which is known as a Catholic country or Pentecostal, Islam is growing at a greater number than both those religions at large. Every time this type of stuff happens, Allah sends his mercy upon people to accept Islam. And it's not your average Joe. It's not your average person. It's people who see, who take the time out to remove the ignorance from their heart and from their mind, to actually pick up a Quran or pick up Hadith and read what Islam truly states. What Islam truly states. Number two, there is no compulsion in religion. The right way has become distinct from error. And that's in Surah Al-Baqarah, which is number 2, ayat 256. Next, number 3, Islam law forbids aggressive warfare. The Quran says, but if the enemy is inclined towards peace, do you also incline towards peace and trust in Allah, for he is the one who hears and knows all things. That's in Surah 8, Surah 2, ayat 190 says, fight in the way of Allah against those who fight against you, but begin not as hostile. Listen to what this says. Begin not as hostiles. No, Allah loathes not the aggressors. So if someone attacks us, we shouldn't just jump right in and attack them. We shouldn't. We should try to find out why these people are attacking us and to seek out a peaceful resolution if possible. But if these people will keep attacking us, then we have the right to defend ourselves. And I'll even expound on it, because if you own property, say you own your car and you're driving and you go to the supermarket, because I've read up on this before and I'm giving an example. You go to the market, you're driving, you come out with your groceries and you're about to put them in the car, and somebody walks up to you and says, give me your car. I'm taking it from you. And you know you own this car outright. You don't have a car note, no nothing. This is your property. And the person tells you, if you don't give me your car, we're going to have a problem. And so you're like, okay, I don't want any problems here. This is, even though this is my property, I'm a just let this person take it. How many people would sit there and let them take it? Now, this person doesn't have a gun. This person doesn't have any kind of weapon. They're just verbally telling you that they want your car and they want you to give it to them. If you were in that situation, how many people would give away their car? How many? I mean, I'm just asking, audience, you can press 1-805-727-7013 if you want to speak. Press 1. How many of you would just give up your car? You wouldn't fight them and say, oh, okay, all right, well, just go ahead and take my car. I'm not going to fight you on it. Nobody would. Especially if you knew that person didn't have a weapon and all they doing is talking, oh, I'm just going to give you my car. For what reason? If that person attempts to take your car, you're going to defend your car because it's yours. You have paperwork to say this is your property. You own this outright. You're not going to let that person just walk up and take your car. You're going to defend yourself to take it. Same thing. I'll give you another example. Somebody comes to your home and they say, I want your second child. You like, what do you mean you want my second child? I want your second child. Give me your second child. I'm taking them from you. You will no longer see them. You will no longer have any rights to them. I'm taking your child. How many of you would let this person take your child? How many of you? Would you not put up a fight for your child? You would. You would call that person a lunatic, crazy. You're not taking my child. You're not getting my child. You're crazy. Leave me alone. Go away from here. These are the things that we have to understand, that we are not the aggressors in these situations. The Muslims are not the aggressors. And again, I will reiterate, ISIS, all these type groups, they have no standing in Islam whatsoever. If people did the numbers, ISIS has killed over 100,000 Muslims, but they won't tell you that. Trust me, if I got captured by ISIS, my head is coming off. They're going to behead me. They're going to kill me. Why? Because they're not Muslim. And you say, well, they have claimed. You can claim whatever you want to claim, but if you don't adhere to Quran and the Sunnah of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, got issues, and not to turn it in a manner that's befitting to you. You have to adhere to Islam as it has been sent down through our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Anybody has ever read up on the story of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his biography, this man never showed anger. He was someone that was able to show great restraint. And one of the Sahabas that was my favorite Sahaba, you know, of all time, is Hamza. And if anybody ever read the story of Hamza, Hamza would be one of those type people. Oh, you did something wrong. I'm about to get you. I'm about to let you have it. He was that type of person, and Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam had to calm him down. Like, Hamza, no, this ain't the time nor the place for this. I need you to show some restraint. The Sahabas would even go to Prophet Muhammad and be like, yo, look at this situation. Look what's going on here. Yo, you need to react on this. And he's like, no, I don't need to do nothing. What you need to do is listen to why I'm not reacting and why I'm showing a great restraint in this situation. Allah gave him the patience of the best patience. The best patience. Even with his wives and his children, he exemplified the highest standard of patience. So if he had patience with us, he definitely had patience with other people, and he did not, you know, just go and slay all the Jews and Christians, and I'm going to get into that. I'm going to provide proof why we just don't do these things and why it's forbidden. So number four, in the Islamic law of war, not just any civil engineer can declare or launch a war. It is the prerogative of the duly constituted leader of the Muslim community, which people know as the emir, that engages in the war. Nowadays, that would be the president or prime minister of the state, as advised by the Mufti or national jurisconsult. So it's levels to it. It's levels to it. And we know these rogue people, Al-Qaeda, the Taliban, Hezbollah, all this other stuff. And I'll get into Hezbollah because people have to look at that group, from what I know on it, it's a bigger picture to how they do things. But again, they take things and they do things how they want to. And you can't have that in Islam. It's either you want to follow the Quran and the Sunnah, or you're not going to follow it. There's no half-stepping in Islam. We need to make that clear. But Hezbollah, I have researched them. They are how they work is that they seek out the poor. They seek out the poorest people in the region, and they give them what the country will not give these people. So, for example, you go to a very poor part of town. I'm talking about where the people are destitute, like everybody is almost destitute. And you tell them, if you let us train your son, we'll give you $50,000. Do you know how much money that is to people? And then they brainwash these people and tell them that your son will be considered as a martyr because he is fighting in the way of Islam. Let me specify this. He will become a martyr. And we know in Islam, if you kill yourself, it's suicide. You're going to the hellfire. But they con these people and they prey on these people's weaknesses. They go and give them food. They give them clothing. They educate them. And they say, offer one of your sons to us so we can make him a suicide bomber. And they say, we will pay you $50,000. $50,000 to some of these people is almost $5 to $10 million in U.S. dollars. These people will never see this in their lifetime. They will never have it. And this is what they do. This is what these types of people do. They prey on the weak and the innocent. And some of these people know it's wrong to send their children into these type of things, but they let the greed and the influence of the shaitan make that deal. And we have to be very careful with that. We have to be extremely careful in those situations not to let the shaitan influence for what will only benefit us here in this dunya. Will not have no weight or merit in the akhira or jannah when we go after to our afterlife. People don't pay attention to these things. It's the biggest con of the shaitan is to make you deviate off of the sirat al-mustaqim. It's shaitan's way. He said he asked for permission from Allah. Give me respite to the day of judgment, and I will show you how disobedient and how ungrateful your slaves are to you. They won't worship you. They won't do it. I will show you that I will put things in their path that will deviate them, and they will accept it, and they will turn away from you. Biggest plan of shaitan, the biggest con, because if anybody falls for that, it's leading you straight to the hellfire. No matter what the price tag is, if anybody knows, more money, more problem. The more money you make, the more problems you're going to have. Have you ever noticed that most of the happiest, content people in the world are poor because they have nothing but themselves and their family? And they're content with that. But we get greedy, fall right into shaitan's plan. Next, the killing of innocent non-combatants is forbidden. I'm going to continue reading. According to Sunni tradition, Abu Bakr al-Sadiq, the first caliph, gave these instructions to his armies. I instruct you in 10 manners. Do not kill women, children, the old, the infirm. Do not cut down fruit-bearing trees. Do not destroy any town. That's in Kitab al-Jihad. So if I just stated all those things, I just stated all those things that it's forbidden to do. You can't even cut down trees that bear fruit. It's against Islam. So we're just going and we're blowing up people and killing children and innocent people who aren't even armed, didn't know this was happening, didn't see this coming. Okay. I'd like to know what Islam you're following, because you're clearly not adhering to the Quran or the Hadith of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You're not adhering to it. Please show me what you're following and where anything that I said is incorrect so far. If you have a comment, question, or concern, you can call in at 805-727-7013. Next, terrorism is forbidden in Islamic law, which groups it with highway robbery, extortion, any illicit use of fear or coercion in public spaces for money or power. The principle of forbidding the spreading of terror in the land is based on Quran, Surah number 5, ayat number 33 through 34. Al-Ab al-Bar defines the agent of terrorism as anyone who disturbs free passage in the streets and renders them unsafe to travel, striving to spread corruption in the land by taking money, killing people, or violating what God has made it unlawful to violate is guilty of terrorism. Be careful, people, what you're doing. Because I'm going to deviate a little bit. That would consider, like, all these gangs and stuff that's going on, and these drug dealers, you're putting the fear in the people. That's terrorism, and it's against Islam. So that's a little side note. for all these gangs and stuff. You can't serve two guys. You can't. You can't. Because you got to look at to the head of your gang, and you got to look at a law. So you can't serve two masters. Number seven, sneak attacks are forbidden. Muslim commanders must give the enemy fair warning that war is imminent. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam at one point gave 4 months notice. Hello? Anybody listening? 4 months. I'm going to attack y'all in 4 months. So get ready. You got well enough amount of time to prepare. This wasn't overnight. This wasn't on some train where the whole train blew up. This wasn't on an airplane where the whole plane blew up. This is not what Islam does. It's not. Number eight, the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, counseled doing good to those who harm you. And it is said to have commanded, do not be people without minds of your own, saying that if others treat you well, you will treat them well. And if they do you wrong, you will do them wrong. Instead, accustom yourselves to do good if people do good and not to do wrong, even if they do evil to you. And I think Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam would have had way more knowledge on that subject than we do. He definitely had way more knowledge and experience on that topic than we do. Number nine, the Quran demands of believers that they exercise justice towards people even where they have reason to be angry with them. And do not let the hatred of a people prevent you from being just. Be just. That is nearer to righteousness. And that's Quran, Surah 5, Ayat number 8. Number 10, the Quran. This is very important for my Christian and Jewish and other faiths and people who have no religion and so forth and so on. This last number 10 is very important. And I want you to understand this, that we cannot be disrespectful to you no matter what. To you be your religion and to me be mine, and that's how I leave it. I'm not going to debate and argue with you, because at the end of the day, you're going to believe what you want to believe, and I'm going to believe what I want to believe. So to stop all the anger, the belittlement, the hatred towards each other, just leave it. Just leave it. You can be kind to your neighbor, and they don't have to be Muslim. We can treat other people just and fairly. We're required to treat you just and fairly. We cannot do hateful, despiteful things to you because you're not Muslim. Again, Islam was not spread by the sword. It was just a matter of the principles, people finally understanding the principles of Islam and accepting it on their own. There's no compulsion in Islam. There's no compulsion in religion. We cannot force you to say Ashhadu ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. We can't force you to say it. And Allah knows what's in the hearts of every man. Even if you were forced to say it, Allah knows whether or not you meant wholeheartedly to recite the Kalima Shahada. Number 10, the Quran assures Christians and Jews of paradise if they believe and do good works, and commends Christians as the best friends of Muslims. Dangerous falsehoods are being promulgated to the American public. The Quran does not preach violence against Christians. In Quran, Surah number 5, Ayat 69 says, surely they that believe and those of Jewry and the Christians and those Sabians whoso believes in God and the last day and works righteousness, their wage waits them with their Lord, and no fear shall be on them, neither shall they sorrow. In other words, the Quran promises Christians and Jews along with Muslims that if they have faith and works, They need not have fear in the afterlife. It is not saying that non-Muslims go to hell, quite the opposite. Now, we know we are not a law. We cannot make that final judgment. If you do not commit shirk, we know that's one thing that Allah does not forgive is shirk, and that's associating partners with Allah. There are plenty of people who don't do that, who don't do that. So that's where that reference is coming from, people who do not associate partners with Allah. And we're talking about the God of the Torah, which is the Old Testament, the God of the Injil, which is the New Testament, and the Quran, which is the book that is read by Muslims. Since I provided you with those 10 instances where, you know, we cannot enforce Islam on you, we learned that we cannot attack people without them knowing. We cannot attack innocent people. You have to be armed. I mean, we just can't walk up to you and start hitting you. You know, we need to warn you ahead of time that we're going to attack you. You know, sort of like when the after school fight. You know how back in the day they would take their hand, ball up in the fist, and point to their eyes, their nose, and their mouth, and then point at the clock and say, you know what that meant, that we was going to fight after school. But you knew it was going to be a fight after school. This is what you have to do. You have to warn. If this person is your enemy, you have to warn them. You can't just go in there and attack them. You know, like all these groups and things that have people bamboozled into thinking that, you know, Islam is the religion of war and we just attack people. Like, it's this post that I see all the time posted. It is approximately 1.6 billion Muslims in the world. If Islam taught that we must attack anyone that is not Muslim at every time, there wouldn't be a moment's peace in this world. You would not have peace. You would not be able to do anything because everywhere you turn, there would be war. Think about that. It's 1.6 billion of us, and that's only the recorded ones who, I guess, filled out some kind of form or acknowledged something stating that they were Muslim, because there's a lot of people that don't say that they're Muslim because they're afraid of what people think and how people will treat them. I tell people this. I worked in the building for over 11 years, building houses approximately 1,500 people. I was the only Muslim that I knew in that building. Wouldn't see nobody else cover. And I work in corporate America. You know, outside of doing hummus and outside of doing this show, I do have a 9-to-5 job, and I work in corporate America, which I have worked in for 22 years, all covered, always in hijab, always. 9/11 came and went, nope, I ain't taking my chemo, nope, not doing it. Why? Because I fear Allah. I fear Allah more than any man, and what's going to hit me will hit me, and what's not going to hit me is not going to hit me. So I don't fear men, and nobody's going to tell me any different about how I love this religion and how I feel about this religion. I'm going to defend this religion because I know it is what is correct. And I could get way more elaborated in this call in detail about how we cannot even mistreat animals. Nevertheless, a human being. There's a hadith about a lady who was a prostitute. She was a prostitute. And Allah guaranteed her paradise because she showed mercy to an animal. So If Allah guaranteed her a paradise because she showed mercy to an animal, she took her shoe off and she dipped it down in the well and gave the animal water. Allah guaranteed her a paradise for showing mercy to an animal. I'm just saying. If we have to show mercy and compassion to animals, do you think they're above human beings? I'm not buying it. And we all know that these things have a larger meaning behind it. It has a way larger meaning behind it. And I'm going to get into that. I just want to make sure I'm quoting the right thing when I do state this. Because this is the article that made me change the entire topic of the show tonight. Because I seen it. It was shared from, I can't even remember where I seen this at. I seen it on somebody's page. It's probably Muslims for Social Justice. I'm a part of that group, and I like to read a lot of things within that group because it keeps me abreast to stuff that the media is definitely going to hide. Things that they don't, the media doesn't want you to see. You know, these are the things that they, you know, put on the back page or don't publicize at all, or it takes someone who has a lower outlet of people that will hear the story. And sometimes these stories are so far back that it takes sometimes weeks, days for us to get a hold of it. And we're like, wow, why wasn't this publicized? Because they don't want people to know the truth. Trying to find this article. So this is on CNN, and I have this. If anybody wants this this news brief that was done on CNN, which was outside the country, this CNN broadcaster went to a Muslim who was in Paris and asked them, well, why is it the Muslim speaking out against this? And basically he's saying, y'all guys knew that this was going to happen, so why wouldn't you prevent it? Astaghfirullah. He's basically saying that the leaders, the main leaders of Islam in this community in Paris, knew that these attacks was going to happen, and we let it go down. Do I need to say that again? Because, yeah, I just said what I said. He said that the Muslim leaders of the community knew that these people was going to do this, and we just sat back and didn't say anything. Dude, are you crazy? Dude, are you crazy? Explain something to you. If the Muslim leaders knew that this was going to go down, if the Muslim leaders in the community knew it was going to go down, it is their obligation to provide the information to the police to prevent people from dying. And wallahi, I believe that these people would have told if they had knowledge of it. But my question back to the CNN broadcaster is, there was intelligence, plenty of intelligence on these so-called terrorist people that y'all had. Y'all had papers. Y'all were even warned that these people were like on the top of the list, and watch them, and y'all say, oh, we didn't think it was credible. But now you want to blame the Muslim community, being that we knew, but we didn't tell nobody. No, you knew. You knew that these people were a ticking time bomb and that they were going to explode, and y'all chose not to do anything about it. But it leads to a bigger question. It leads to a bigger question. Why? You had all this intelligence. You had all this information that was gathered, and you knew where these people lived at. You knew where these people were living at. How I know that is because after the bombing, you went to 150 different locations and rounded up people and locked them up. Why didn't you do this way before this happened? Why weren't you, if these people were at the top of the list, why didn't you go seek them out and have your people start monitoring their behaviors and monitoring what they were doing? Tap into it. Why didn't you guys do that? Makes you start to think that they just needed a reason. And another thing that, you know, upsets me, and I ask the law for mercy for anyone, and may Allah grant them Jenna, if they were killed innocently by the attacks, as well as the retribution that these people came back. Because, okay, France went and bombed Syria, and you bombed alleged locations. You don't know where the locations was at. And we have known that even America and other countries have bombed hospitals, safe points, outreach centers, schools where these are supposed to be safe zones, and hundreds of people are murdered and killed, but nobody looks at that because why? They're Muslim, and oh, all Muslims are terrorists. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? I asked the question. I said, so when they drop these bombs and stuff on people, do they really know where they're located? Or do they just bomb and say, oh, well, some casualties. Oh, well, they were Muslim, so it's okay for them to die, and okay, well, whatever. This is where the anger comes in. But as Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us, we have to exhibit sabr. It's no matter how bad the situation gets, we have to show patience. And we have to show humility in these type of situations. Some people say, well, why wouldn't y'all just attack back? That's not the way we're supposed to do. These are not the things that we are supposed to do. These are not the teachings of Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Somebody attacks you, I attack you. No, not the way. And people can sugarcoat it. They can say what they want to say. But that's not what Islam, the basis of Islam means peace. We are not a violent religion. If you want to take a look at violence, and I've done this, if you take all the words out of the Bible, King James Version, take all the words out of the King James Version, and you pull out all the words that have violent tendencies to them, there's actually thousands more than there is in the Quran. And I ain't making that up. You can go do it. I was raised Christian. I did it. I looked it up, and it's true. You'll find more violent words in the Bible than you will the Quran. And, I mean, we could go tit for tat, we could go there. You will find more violence in the Bible than you do the Quran. You will actually find more words about peace and humility in the Quran than you do the Bible. Coincidence? Nope, not at all, because this is what Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us. And we know that these are the end of days. We know this. We know this, and we know that the shaitan is on his A game. What do we have to do? We have to be diligent. We have to keep an eye out for these things. If we see something, we need to report it. Because remember, could you sleep with yourself knowing that you could have prevented something? And you didn't, and hundreds or even thousands of people were killed or maimed because you chose to keep silent, you'll be asked about these things on the Day of Judgment. Now, that's up to you if you want to stand before Allah and have your limbs speak out against you, because we know that your limbs, your eyes, your lips, your tongue, your hands, your feet, everything will speak out against you on the day of judgment. We have to forge together, and this is another thing that, you know, I look at in depth. What is it that Allah is trying to tell us? What is it Allah is trying to tell us? Because between every test, there's an underlying story to every situation. What is Allah trying to tell us? Because he's trying to tell us something, but either we're going to be too ignorant and ignore it, too boastful to accept it, or too ignorant to adhere to it. But there's a story behind this. There's something, because we know nothing happens without the permission of Allah. Not a leaf falls from the tree without the permission of Allah. Not a drop out the cloud that will form into rain will hit the ground without the permission of Allah. We know this. So Allah has allowed this to happen, but we don't know why. But there is a reason behind it. One reason that I could see behind this is that we need to come together as Muslims and unite and forge ahead for positivity. We have to stop with all this division, all this hate between ourselves. Because if we have all this hate and division, the shaitan is winning. The shaitan is winning, and he's winning big because of man's arrogance, because of his boastfulness. He thinks he's better than the next Muslim. I don't care if you got $20 million in your account. You're going in the grave, and the worms will eat you just as they will eat me. I tell everybody this, Allah can change your situation in the blink of an eye. You're sitting on a high horse. You're enjoying life. Allah can knock that right from under you, and you could be lower than what you ever were in your entire life. There is a story behind all this. We need to not only show people that this is not Islam, we need to tell them, show them, and act upon the sunnah of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because some of the things that we do are out of pocket, out of line, out of accordance with Islam. And there's no justification behind it. There's no justification behind it. You know, again, I said I work in corporate America, and you know they're going to try it. You know, I knew going in there today, I'm like, oh, yeah, they're going to try me today. Somebody's going to say something or whatever, just to get my reaction. So, you know, I was at a meeting, and, you know, they said, you know, oh, how did you, somebody said to another coworker, oh, yeah, I know you had friends that recently went to Paris. Are they still over there? They're just talking, and I'm sitting at the table because we're in a meeting. You know, the meeting hadn't really got underway just yet. So they're talking. They was like, well, yeah, they were over there, and, you know, they're safe. You know, and they were over there for 2 weeks, and they was going to, you know, come back home. But, you know, they said they're going to stay, even though, like, a lot of the attractions and things like that are closed, you know, due to the situation over there. And then they look at me, and they say, you know, we have to stand in solidarity with them because this was wrong on how they were attacked. What you looking at me for? I disagree with it. Nobody, who, did I say I agree with it? Why are you looking at me? Because I'm Muslim, so, oh, automatically Muslims just must agree with what happened. Astaghfirullah. And you know what I said? because I need my job. I need my job. I got bills to pay. And the law gives me patience because I'm telling you, if it wasn't my job, I probably would have said something. And I said, you're absolutely right. We have to stand in solidarity because, you know, terrorism, you know, we have no place for that. And they looked at me. Like, what did you think I was going to say? I said, you know, and then since you went there, since you felt as though you could go there, I'm going to continue to go there. I said, Islam forbids terrorism. It has no place in Islam. With a firm voice, it has no place in Islam. That's not what our religion teaches. So these people, they crazy. I said, they're insane. They're lunatics. I don't know where these people come from. And they were looking at me like, yeah, did she just say that? Yes, she did. Yep. I said, these people, I said, if you could have seen my face, you guys probably would have died. Like, I said, yeah, these people is lunatics. Are you kidding me? These people are crazy. And I wasn't playing because they is crazy. I told anybody, if I'm on a plane and somebody want to get out of pocket, I'm going to whoop your behind on that plane. You ain't doing too much when I'm on the plane. You better sit down and not cut the phone while I'm on no plane. Y'all going to really see? That's why I was like, Allah don't put me in situations like this, because he probably like, that child, she crazy, and I already know what she going to do. I ain't even going to test her with that, because I know she'll cut the whole fool. What? We anywhere, and you talk about you want to do something, and I got to get back home to my family? You going to learn today? And see, I ain't one of these passive Muslims. Because somebody get wrong with me, and I guess people could see that in my face and, you know, how I come across, you know, really firm in my position and stuff like that. They know. Don't come to me with that. I never played that game. Like, when I tell my coworkers this, because I'm the only black female Muslim in my department. I work with all men. All men. Yep, all men. And, you know, my coworkers are really cool. But, you know, like when I tell them, I'm like, I don't play those type of games. And, you know, like one of my coworkers is Jewish. And, you know, we talk all the time about stuff. And, you know, we keep it to a subtle level. You know, we're not disrespectful to each other. And this is how it's supposed to be. The only reason why you know I'm Muslim is because I don't hijab. I wear overgarments. I'm not revealing my skin. I'm not doing these type of things, carrying myself in a manner or a situation that's unbecoming of a Muslim. You don't hear me cursing. You don't hear me, you know, doing these out-of-pocket things. You know that I'm Muslim. But not only do you know, you see that I'm Muslim. They know. I heard one of my coworkers, oh, she's in the office praying. I heard you when you said it. So somebody came by my desk. Another coworker was like, she's in the office room. She's in the office praying. She shouldn't be long. Did I tell them I was going in there to pray? No, but they know because they see me. And especially my Jewish coworker, he knows. He'd be like, oh, you know, it is coming, right? And I'll say Rosh Hashanah is coming, Hanukkah's coming. You know, we'll talk about, you know, different things that, you know, we have in common. It doesn't have to be like this, but you will have people who are ignorant, who will refuse to understand Islam because they want to believe what the media states. They're going to hate Islam. But that's the shaitan's way of showing he tries to have some type of authority here. You know, you can only get what you allow. And I say that all the time. You can only get what you allow. If anybody has a question, you can call in at 805-727-7013 and press 1 if you have a comment, question, or concern. I get real passionate about these things because I love Islam. I love, when I tell you I love this religion, and it's not just about the clothing. It's about the teaching. To humble yourself. To humble yourself. Allah will bring you down so low that all you do is worship him because you want to be taken out that situation. And when you do come out that situation, you should never be ungrateful. You should never be ungrateful to Allah Azza wa Jal for removing you from that situation. We, as Muslims who believe in Ashhadu ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, if you believe in that and you stated the Kalima Shahada, show people you are Muslim. Not just look a Muslim, show them you are Muslim in every action that you do. Because, you know, people want to get a reaction out of you. People want to get a rise out of you. And some people just want to test you to see how you will react. Just like, you know, the Muslim community don't speak on it. We don't speak on it because you're not going to believe it anyway. There were Muslims killed in Paris. There were Muslims killed in 9/11. But you don't never hear about those people. When I watched the, it was like a commemoration of 9/11, and it was a Muslim sister, forget her ethnicity, but when she went to the memorial, people scowled at her, spit on her, and she had to say that my husband was killed in 9/11, and he was Muslim. These people didn't care, because they believed that all Muslims accept terrorism. That would be something that would hurt me so bad that we know we don't agree with this. We don't adhere to it. Not even part of Islam to do these type of things. If you martyr yourself trying to blow up people, kill children, innocent people, unarmed people without no notice and all this other stuff, it's suicide. And we know where suicide ends. There's no place in Islam. We have to come together, Ummah, as one collective, stare down the face of these evildoers and let them know the buck stops here. We're not playing these games no more. If Muslims knew that this was going to transpire, I believe wholeheartedly that they would have exposed them to prevent this from happening. They would expose them to prevent this from happening. As I, you know, conclude the call, I just want to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala again for giving us life today, giving us something to reflect on. You know, some people want to know why we don't keep shouting it from the rooftops. We do. It's like beating a dead horse. You're not going to believe it anyway. But I felt as though that it was my responsibility and my duty to make my callers, a lot of people may not call in, but people do go back and listen to my shows because they're available for playback and listening, so you can always go to the archives and, you know, pull these up and hear the call. I know people go back and listen because I can see the stats on, you know, how many additional people called in or how many people are listening to the playback. And, you know, alhamdulillah, the stats are up. greatly. I appreciate all my listeners. I tell you guys that, you know, if you have a topic, a question, concern, feel free to call me, 610-836-2120. You can email me, qamrma@gmail.com. You can inbox me, DM me. I'm on all social networks, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, Pass, Google Talk. You know, it's just something that hurts me because I love Islam. And when you love something so dearly, it hurts you. It resonates in your core that it's an unhappy feeling. Like my stomach is upset because I see how the people stare at me. But I'm not taking off my hijab to please you guys. Absolutely not. Even if I took it off, I'm still Muslim. So, it, you know, like, what's the big deal? If I have it on, I'm Muslim. If I take it off, I'm Muslim. So I'm not doing that to upset my Lord, to please you. No, I'm not doing it. But I want everybody to be safe. I want everybody to be diligent, aware of your surroundings, and, you know, just be cautious, especially when you're traveling abroad, because I know a lot of people, a lot of, you know, my friends and things like that, they travel to and from outside the country and things like that. Just be careful and be diligent and aware of your surroundings. And I just pray that Allah protects you and keeps you safe, keeps your family safe, keeps your children safe, keep your home safe, keep everything safe for the Muslims. I mean, you know, we're living in the end of days. We're living in the end of days, and these type of things are just going to keep coming. They're going to keep coming. As long as the shaitan is getting fuel, he's going to keep breathing the fire. But this, you know, this is not what Islam teaches. Terrorism has no affiliation with Islam, period. I thank everybody for joining tonight. I'm Sister Cordera Aisha Muhammad for Religion Means Alive. Assalamu alaikum, and have a great evening.